Tonight is going to be an interesting night because we're praying for multiple nations. We're praying for over the China and Taiwan situation. We're praying over the Russian and Ukraine situation. That's starting to loosen up a little bit, but we need more prayer. And we're also going to pray for Canada and the nations. I've done a lot of ministry in Canada, and I can remember as a child, my mother and father would love to take us out on a Sunday drive, and we would drive invariably over the bridge and into Canada to have lunch. And so there was an early association with Canada when I was a child, since we lived literally just across the bridge from the Canadian border. We also had a lot of French Canadian people in our subdivision. And so Canada has always seemed to me like the other self, if you will. I don't know how they would feel about that opinion. They probably just like being Canadians. But I just have a very endearing feeling in my heart toward the Canadian people. So I've ministered up there a lot. And they are very much like Americans, the culture, very similar. But there is one difference that would cause you to be shocked over what's happening up there right now. And that is that by nature, the Canadian people are not aggressive people. They're not typically people that want to get up in your face and fight you when you're doing wrong. They just have a far more passive look at life than Americans do. So to see what they're doing up there makes me cry frequently. And it makes me cry because to me, it is so very beautiful. I like the way they're standing up for their country. They're trying very, very hard not to go violent, but they're trying to make a statement. The thing that is not really surprising, but it's sad and unexpected, and that is the way Trudeau is fighting what they're trying to do. But I do know that his family is part of the elite. They have far-leaning liberal ideas. Canada is, I would have to be honest, as having ministered up there across Canada, really, so many times, that the Canadian people, by and large, are of a more liberal mindset than America. Of course, America is changing a little bit, but that won't be for long. But they still, the Christians, love the Spirit of God. They respect the Spirit of God. They want what God has to offer. And they're wonderful people to minister to because of their respect for God. So while I was up there, probably about 20 years ago, I worked with one of the ministers up there, and we traveled across Canada trying to spread the vision of what God wanted to do in Canada. And in one of our stops, I talked to ministers that had come to this particular conference from across the country and shared with them that if I understand what God was saying to me at that time, that Canada is going to have a part in leading the world into revival. So I see happening what is happening up there right now, and I really believe it is the beginning of that message coming to fruition. I'm going to be very, very shocked if this does not result in a powerful move of God before it's over. And my hope is, and thoughts are, that America will be close behind them. So we're going to be praying over Canada at the end of tonight. I asked my daughter if it would be all right if I could do the praying, because I love the Canadian people. I love Canada. I don't like what the elite are trying to do up there at all. So please stay with us to the end, and let's see together what we can do to influence what God wants to do in that nation of very nice people. As far as tonight is concerned, I have spoken to you certain issues that were brought to my attention by the Lord in a recent visitation. In other times we've had together since that visitation. But tonight, I'm going to try to get through the whole visitation and share with you what the Lord taught me and where it feels like He's leading us. If I can't get it all done tonight, then I'll pick it up again next week. So please just be in prayer quietly in your prayer language as you listen to what I'll be sharing with you. I want you to know up front, I've had probably some of the most profound experiences that most people will ever have in a lifetime with the Lord. I never used to understand why this occurred, but now, so many years later, 40 years in the ministry, things that He's revealing to me has helped me understand why He's chosen to go this route with me. But I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help you understand how imperative this message is. It was given to me in a very profound way because He has profound things to say. When He comes to me in such powerful ways like this, it takes a long time for everything inside of me to settle down because of the Him that is so much involved in something like this. He left me broken, not in a bad way, a good way, broken, full of anticipation, and a new person. So many years of fighting for and desiring union, He started answering that prayer in a very real and significant way in March of 2019. From then until 1/27/22, every once in a while he would make another major deposit of himself to increase the level of union that I was in. But on 1/27/22, he came. His spirit just came down very powerfully. I hope I can do this. He came and he imparted so much of himself to bring me into what he called was the fullness of union. And I am truly a new creation in a way that not many people throughout history have been. But that's not always going to be that way. We're coming into a season the likes of which would absolutely leave you enthralled if I could share with you all that it will mean. And the number of people that will have this notable experience at one level or another are going to be, as my daughter said it, I think last week, it's going to be very notable. There will be a large number of people that will have the opportunity to enter therein at various levels and live if they're willing to pay the price. So praise God, let's go on. I'm sorry for taking so long. I've already taken a past my half hour. So maybe John will let me go a little bit longer so I can at least say something to you of what I experienced.
Absolutely, Nita.
Thank you, John. I'm going to read it to you because if I do it by memory, sharing it like you would with a friend, it would take us 2 hours. And I'm not going to take that long a time. I'm going to actually try to do the impossible and say it within a half an hour. If I can't, then like I said, we'll be back next week. Okay. I say, during our earthly ministry prayer meeting, I didn't mean to say earthly, but I think that's not true more today than it's ever been not true. It's kind of a heavenly prayer meeting. But during our prayer meeting, our ministry prayer meeting on Thursday night, I began to pray by blessing and praising our wonderful Father and Lord Jesus Christ. One can hardly imagine praying to one so grand without allowing your heart to enter into the ecstasy of his exceedingly glorious presence. As I lifted my heart to him in this manner, he immediately responded by lifting me into the heavens. See, it's a heavenly prayer meeting. Lifting me into the heavens to meet him in the power of his resurrected light. I was about to experience one of the most dramatic visitations I've ever known with my holy King, Lord God Almighty. In the following documentation of this event, which actually occurred before others on our team, I will seek as accurately as possible, as I possibly can, to share precisely the things that happened in the scope of 30 minutes. I was in a high level of union with my Lord at the onset of this experience. However, when it ended, I found myself in full union with my Savior. I wish to share with you the process by which he revealed wonderful things about the Father and what he intended to do with me this very night. Because I was praying in a group setting, I will share the many short prayers I uttered, as well as reveal the things the Lord shared and did. Before the prayer, I will indicate that you are reading the prayer, that you are reading or hearing, in this case, the prayer by prefacing it with the word prayer. When I shift to explaining his workings, I will preface it with the words, his actions. So here we get started. Prayer. Thank you, Lord, great and mighty God, God of the nations, he who is the power above all powers, be exalted. His actions while praying the above. While I was praying the above, Jesus literally took me up into the heavens to stand beside him. In so doing, he gave me to see the expansion of time. He also gave me to see in a very small measure the reality of the greatness of who he is. I saw the stars. You know, the stars are amazing from our perspective. But when you get up there where they live and you see them from heaven's perspective, they're even more amazing. And on a couple of different occasions, this being one of them, I actually saw them worshiping the Lord. You say, well, how can that be? I'll explain that to you later. I saw the stars and a very tiny bit of the solar system. I saw creation singing to him. Now, can you imagine what that must have been like? What a night! Further, I was allowed to see amazing things about his creation on earth. My prayer, as I continued, as I looked at the panorama of the beautiful universe before me, I quietly shared, God, I can see that this is your will in action. These things, both in the temporal and in the spiritual life, are that which you are ever bringing forth. Subtitle, his will. His actions in response to my prayers. Hence, I began praying about his will. I speak here of his general will and its operations. I saw the power of and outflowing efficacy from his will. All things that come into being flow through the intelligent and creative force. In him who is timeless, what he sees is what is at all times. There is no space or time with God. He's omnipotent, that is, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, present everywhere simultaneously. There isn't any place he isn't. He is transcendent, being above or independent of the material universe. If you look back, there is no beginning with God. He is the beginning and the forever. If you look forward, there is no end with God. He is the end. And we see that alluded to in Revelations 1, 4, and verse 8. I'm going to try to give you the scriptures so you can write them down and look them up, and hopefully that'll save us a little time. Our multidimensional God took me up into himself to show me this reality. However, I was not able to bear this revelation. It was too great for me. The Lord took me into a place of timelessness in which time and space are not accounted. This existence is where he lives as well. Here, traveling at the speed of such great measure, we have no means with which to measure it. Suddenly, when it seemed like time should have come to an end, it didn't. Behold, he was there. I gasped and would have passed out, but he brought me back to myself and resuscitated me. Notwithstanding, such things bring up even more questions. For instance, does God indeed travel? Or since he is omnipresent, does he hover, as it were, and unbeknownst to us, we travel about in him? He is ever in movement, and in times or places where judgments rest, he remains in a state of violence. Is there ever peace in this place? Peace has a different connotation with him. He told his disciples he would give them peace, not as the world gives, but as is his peace. I could spend pages and pages describing such things as this, as he has taught me over the years. Oh, how great God is. As we arrived at our meeting place in the heavens, Christ stood before me. I found myself compelled to make declarations. This compelling came out from within his will. It is manifesting as it beats within my being as a living force or a compulsion stronger than my own will, stronger than any life force I have ever touched. It was rising within me and kept rising in union with and carrying my own yielded will in its flow. This force grew inside of me until it felt like my very heart was going to explode with the desperate need to praise him in such a way as he alone is worthy. My battle arose with the reality that none could give him the pure, unfeigned praise of which he is worthy. Such adoration and praise could never flow out of human lips, as it is too high and powerful for us to endure. I grew so desperate to release the praise due him that I was in living anguish. He is too holy, too glorious, too majestic. He is the very essence of life, but alas, the corruption of the human soul made it impossible to connect with human ardor alone. Indeed, anything human not clothed by the sanctifying blood of the Lamb was not capable of receiving the caress of the Divine One. Subtitle: Union. This wonderful, loving Christ who has now captured my gaze is my blessing, for in him alone can the heart of so lofty a God and a passionate child called by his name find their satisfaction realized. Indeed, sin arose, who died, the rose so beautiful, was crucified to restore hope by his finished work of the atonement. A soul slain by the corruption of darkness had destroyed the goodness of the shining light. There I was, smitten by divine love and held captive by the flesh that in no way could compensate for the loss. What could I do? Churning, yearning, grasping for freedom from my flesh that now held me captive and a prisoner trapped away from he whom I love more than life. I thought, who else has known this torment? My heart was thrashing, my soul in a battle for what was life itself. It felt as though I faced obliteration, indeed must suffer obliteration to release the praise he alone deserved. My thoughts now riveted on one truth alone, I had to be free of this deathly prison of my flesh, that my glorious King might be wholly praised in pristine purity, fully worshiped for the noble, glorious, majestic God that he is. And you'll find a similar experience in Romans 7, 4 through 25, written by Paul. I am suddenly aware that the Spirit of Christ is working to fill every part of my being. The filling began in my feet, traveling up my legs and into my torso, my lungs, my heart, my members, up into my mind. His Spirit was moving and claiming every part. As I felt His most Holy Spirit moving through me, I began to feel the release of this noble song. Driven as I was to experience freedom from within, I found myself captured by this truth, which is now exploding from within. Yes, Christ alone can worship God. He must do it. The reality is Christ, so holy, so majestic, is our hope. Scriptures, Exodus 15:11. Psalm 96:9 and 1 Chronicles 16:27. The majesty of this holiness was consuming me inch by inch. In His might and by His will, He worshiped God through me. And my friends, the difference between Christ worshiping our Father through us compared to our puny desire to worship Him, there just simply isn't any comparison. God loves our worship because He takes it from our heart. He doesn't receive it from our mouths. He receives it from our heart, and He loves it. But still, Christ alone can give Him the glorious worship that the Father is due. Our God is truly holy, majestic in holiness. He is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. This fire gradually took ownership of my every part, all the while the darkness was driven out by ongoing explosions of light within me. I felt like one being stunningly transformed by His light. All of this was the actualization of His will. Jesus was imparting a new higher level of union at so sublime a measure, I was speechless at the marvel of His divine wonders, the culmination of the fullness of union at last, which union I began entering into March 15th of 2019. More on the workings of His will, His actions. After the above experience, Jesus took me on a trip of sorts across America. I was one place one moment, and another, it seemed, the next. It seemed as though I was traveling the length and the breadth of America. However, in actuality, I do not know if I was even moving at all. God took me into the place of timelessness where He lives, as it were. He took me there to help further my understanding, among other things, the operation of His will. My dear friends, I feel so protective of His will these days. His will is the most precious thing in creation. There's nothing like it. The description below is what He gave me to see. It appeared by what He showed me that there is a process that occurs so quickly that it is faster than human thought. Indeed, faster than the speed of light. The thought becomes His will. No thought that He conceived does He reject, whether His permissive, good, or acceptable will. It automatically becomes His will. You might even say that the thought while being conceived is already his will. Ephesians 1, 5, and 9. Again, that process is faster than the speed of light. Once it becomes his will, it manifests as reality. This reality is true even if his thought concerns something that will occur 2,000 years in the future, in the field of time and space. In actuality, God knows all things at all times. But he has determined that all will be revealed and made manifest through the Son. My prayer. Feeling so overwhelmed, I again began to loud his praises, declaring, "You will be exalted, O God." And this came, it came so compellingly from my heart, I thought my heart was going to burst. I exclaimed, the Son paid the price, and he brought forth the privilege for the expression of your song from shore to shore, east to west. The Lord's actions. I saw in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Something is happening to him before my very eyes, giving forth this awesome expression of truth. He is again changing in his, dare I say, composition. Jesus turned from being a light being to being of life, L-I-F-E. The transition continued, showing me again the life is the light of men. The light I saw was a perpetual song of life flowing through the heavens into all creation. The scriptures to support John 1:4, Hebrews 1:13, Isaiah 42:10 and 16, Isaiah 44:23, 46:9 and 10, and Isaiah 49:13. My prayer, I cried, "God, you said, let it be." The Lord's actions, Genesis 1:3, 6, 9, and 11. My prayer, your glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let it be. The Lord's actions. Out in front of me, I saw the earth suspended. I saw that his glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Even now, his glory surrounds the earth in that we are in him. Yet the scripture is fulfilled as I saw above. His lovely Shekinah glory is blanketing the earth, a habitation of his kingdom. Both statements are ever presently true because God transcends time and space. What do we have for time? I don't know. I think I'm going to have to read the rest of this next week. I hope you don't mind. There's so much to read. Everything I share is supported by Scripture. God is an amazing being. I've always wondered, could I love him more than I love him? He asks of me, and I do anything and everything within my power to respond to what he asks, because I love him. Yet, deep inside my heart, my whole Christian life, I have felt he's too wonderful. He's too wonderful for this to be the highest level of love a person could experience. He has brought me into union. And the love that I walk in day to day I pray many hours a night, and so the love is there all night long. My heart just heaves with love, passionate love for him. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to say to you that there is a reality. There is a life that we can have on this earth where he has prepared us to enable him to pour his love in us, that he may pour it through us and back to himself, and to love members of the human race with this same divine love. This sacrificial love. This love that counts our life as all but worthless compared to him. Jesus said in the book of John, 17th chapter, "And this is eternal life," and in case you've ever wondered what eternal life is, "and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And this word "know" is a Greek word that speaks of a deep, ongoing experience of living in the person of God through Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. What I want to talk to you about, by the time I finish going over this experience, is what God is going to bring forth to you, in you, through you, regarding the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If knowing Christ experientially, from deep within, knowing him completely, is what eternal life is, then what do we need to experience? What do we need to live in that is beyond where we're living? The occasional touch of his love is nothing compared to living in the oceans of his love. And that's what he bought us for. He didn't buy us for the little touch here and there. He bought us to let us swim the depths of his love. East, west, north, south, the depths stand at the ocean grand, the side of the ocean. Look as far as you can look in every direction. You still cannot comprehend the depths of his love and how that he has intended for you and me to live in that place, and to live in that place in such a way that life is utterly consumed by that place in God. I have lived it now every day, day and night. There is no end. It is with me. It's in me. The experience is phenomenal to live where I'm living. As much as I used to teach on union, and believe me, I have taught on union for probably 30 years, beckoning the church to come in hunger and in thirst for God, and to never stop until you are so full, so saturated with Him, there's no room left for any more. Every experience I've had with Him has opened another door of understanding about who He is. And I've had so many experiences of Him coming to me or taking me to heaven. To get to know Him, which is what I've lived for, my life has been enthralled with this hunger, this passion to know Him as I am known. Secondly, and I'm not ashamed of this, I have lived that my daughter and her children would have the same depth of relationship with God. It's a price. It costs something. And she's strong. And I know she'll pay the price, as I have done. But I want to talk to you about that. I want to take the time to talk to you about that. And if it takes another week or 2 weeks to be able to share everything and the prophetic words that He gave, I want to have the privilege to feed this into your heart, that your life can be transformed by your God. So, I'm sorry that I wasn't able to do the whole thing tonight, but I'll make it up to you, and so will He. Between now and next week, please pray. God, help her give as much as You want us to have, and fill us with Your Spirit while You're talking to us. Let us feel the fire of Your passion for us. Yet while You're talking, let us see in the Spirit the things that You can let us see to help us understand what she's saying. And I believe that if you will pray that prayer with a pure and passionate heart, He will answer it. With that, I'm going to turn you over to my dear friend, Shio. Shio has... Oh, yeah. I'm going to pray for the intercessors first. Shio has a tremendous heart for God as well. He's one of my favorite people to talk with over the deeper things of God. I love His heart. So let me pray for the intercessors. My heart feels so broken by Him for you. He wants you. He went to the cross to have you. And if it had to be necessary that it transpire again and again, He would do it again and again. Because of His want for you, His passion for you, His love for you, His desire to hold you, to reveal Himself to you. He exists every minute of every day for these things. If there were one person on the earth and only one, the cross would have been a light thing if at the end of it He could have had that one. How much more so is it true for you and for so many, His church? He went to the cross out of the most profound love. He never had a moment of bitterness. He could have said no. The Lord, our Father, gave Him time to say no, but He absolutely insisted, no, they need Me and they need what I can give them. And Father, we want them. so to the cross he went for you and me. Love him tonight. Love him. Love him from the depths tonight. And let him love you in the depths tonight. And let it be the beginning of a new life in you. Intercessors, please, if you can stand, stand. Lift your hands if you can. And let's pray. Father, if I could pick up every one of these people and lift them up to you, Lord, and say to you, please fill this one with the passion of your love. I would. But I know that there is no space and time with you. My prayer for them is all you need. Their willingness to be awakened by your Spirit, to carry a heart that is so filled with a passion for you that at times it's almost unbearable. All they have to do is say yes, and you will do it. You will empty every hindrance, remove every encumbrance, and fill them as much as they can be filled with you. Lord, let your anointing come upon them tonight and set them apart for you. Let them be set apart to your hunger, to your thirst, to your passion for this beautiful, beautiful relationship to happen. This is the hour, Lord. This is the hour you have waited all these years for. This is your hour. Never has it been more true, as only you know. It is your hour to have your bride. Touch them, heal them, fill them, and draw them into those incredible places in you. Let your anointing come upon them now to do this miraculous work inside of them, day by day, in your precious name. Amen. Oh boy, I hope you guys are experiencing what I am.